I'm Brad Cresswell. It's Afternoon Classics here on FM 91. As you may know, the Toledo Symphony has a classics concert tonight and tomorrow night. It's entitled Beethoven, Bach, and Dvorak, happening at 8 o'clock p.m. at the Toledo Museum of Art Paris Style. There is a pre-concert chat at 7 p.m. with Merwin Sue, and I'm glad to say that I'll be joining Merwin as well to talk about the music. But we're going to talk about that music right now because the concert also features the wonderful cellist Mark Kossower, who is principal cello of the Cleveland Orchestra, making a return to Toledo, and he's right here in the studio with us today. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you here. And Merwin has magically appeared as well. He's at the other microphone.
Always glad to be joining you.
So welcome to both of you. So glad to have you here. It's a wonderful, interesting program tonight. Mark, it's your second time performing with Toledo Symphony. Is that right?
Actually, the third time. I played Haydn D major in a concert in 2006 back then.
Oh, okay. Well, that was before I got here, so it doesn't count, right? I came
absolutely,
in 2009.
Absolutely.
But you weren't with the Cleveland Orchestra at that time.
No, I wasn't.
Oh, okay. Last time you came here, I remember you brought some absolutely crazy cello concerto with you by Friedrich Gulda.
That's right. Yes, it's a wild and crazy piece in such a wonderful way, too.
Yeah.
Blending
yeah.
jazz and rock with Austrian folk music.
Who would have thunk? But it was a really exciting performance, I remember. We broadcast it here, and we look forward to what you have tonight, which is a little bit more in the standard repertoire, even though it's a piece that we don't hear all that often. Ernest Bloch's Shlomo, which tells the story of King Solomon in music, not in words, but in music. And it's a really interesting piece of music, and I want to talk about that in a little bit. But first, I want to talk about you a little bit, Mark, because people maybe don't know all of your story. Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Okay, and you grew up there, right?
That's right.
A family of musicians. Your
yes,
dad was a cellist.
That's right.
I read in your bio that you started playing the cello when you were a year and a half old. Is that even possible?
Apparently. So the story goes, my older sister, she's 3 years my senior, began playing cello at 2 years old. My father had the idea, and so she studied with him and also participated in what at the time was a very large chapter of the Suzuki Method in my hometown.
Okay.
And then when I came along, since my mother worked, you know, they have those enclosed play areas for kids, and so they'd put that in my father's office so that he'd be practicing and could keep an eye on me. And he heard me once singing back something he was practicing when I was a year and a half years old.
Wow.
And then he got really excited and went out to get the cello, and they, for the first time I tried it, they stuck the chair in the play area, the theory being if something would happen, the webbing would catch the cello, not only me. and apparently I played with it for about 20 minutes, which they thought was a long period of time for somebody that age.
Well, if this were to happen nowadays, we'd all be watching it on Facebook or
right.
something like that.
Exactly.
You know, the viral video of the toddler playing the cello. Do you have any memory of that?
I don't. I think my earliest memory of playing the cello was playing Twinkle Little Star and Variations for my father's string techniques class at the university.
Yeah.
And I was probably about 2 years old then.
Wow. That's just, I find that to be absolutely amazing. Now, Merwin, you're a violinist. When did you start? Were you a year and a half or a little bit older?
No, I was multiples of that older. I started around 5.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, still, that's pretty young. I mean,
so
five
old.
Years old. Yeah, right.
Yes, I've been behind ever since.
I don't think that the you know, on the prodigy meter, you're a little bit behind Mark there.
Exactly.
But so, Mark, let's take you through high school, and then you went to college, you went to Indiana University, right?
That's right.
And that's where you studied with Janos Starker, the great cellist.
Correct.
And then you were in Juilliard.
Right.
Tell me if I miss anything.
No, that's perfect.
And where did you go from there, then?
After I studied Juilliard, I was living in the New York area for a few years, freelancing and concertizing. In 2005, I accepted a position to teach at the San Francisco Conservatory of Music.
Okay.
And I was there for a couple years.
You
and then,
traded the East Coast for the West Coast.
Exactly, yeah. Right, to get the full tour. And then from there went to be one of the two solo cellists in the Bamberg Symphony Orchestra in Germany.
Wow.
And then from there to Cleveland. One thing I may mention that is a little bit of a novelty that both Ernest Bloch and myself taught at both the San Francisco Conservatory and the Cleveland Institute of Music.
Wow. Who followed whom?
And he was also the director of both institutions.
Yes. Well, I mean, you still have some time, so
that's right.
Okay. You can still fulfill that prophecy. I'm glad that you bring up the Bomberg Symphony because I wanted to play a recording of you to sort of whet our listeners' appetites for this evening. And you've recorded with them the two cello concertos of Alberto Ginastera, a composer that we don't hear all that often. And I had never heard these cello concertos before they came out on your Naxos recording.
Right. The only person to have performed them, at least up until that time, and recorded was the composer's wife, Natola Aurora, mm-hmm. who was a very accomplished cello soloist. And the story goes that the reason that she was the only performer is because she hung on to these concertos and wouldn't allow anyone else to perform them.
Wow.
And because she
kept them under her pillow at night.
I think so, because, and particularly the second concerto was very special to her and being dedicated to her by the composer, her husband. And so it was only after her playing career was over that she started promoting the idea of other people playing these works.
Were you the first one to record them or no?
I'm the second person, the first person being herself.
Oh, okay.
She recorded them in Spain in the late 90s with Max Bragado Darman, who's
right.
a conductor who I don't know if he still is.
Castile and León.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And he was I don't know if he still is, but he was music director of the Monterey Symphony.
Okay. Now, how did you get your hands on these? I mean, I assume that there was kind of a bidding war going on, at least figuratively, to record these works.
Well, I sent the CD of my wife, G1O, and myself recorded all of the cello piano music of Ginastera, and mm-hmm. I looked her up and I mailed her the CD, and she was living in Geneva and we were in Germany at the time. And I didn't hear anything back for more than a month, and so I figured, I probably wouldn't. And then one day I got a phone call from Geneva,
wow.
and she apologized for not getting back to me sooner, but said her CD player was broken, and so she had to go get a new CD player.
That's amazing.
And then she invited us to come to Geneva. And it was very interesting because when we came in, we sat down for about 5-10 minutes talking, and then she whisked us into Ginastera's studio and told us to play the first movement of the sonata, and then later then followed up by play the Pompeiana number 2. And we were hoping she would, maybe give us a lesson on these pieces, but instead she just, praised our work, and I think she just wanted to see if we could really do what it sounded like on the recordings.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. You have the blessing of the composer's widow.
Right. And then from there, the problem was, there were these concertos and I knew about them, but you couldn't purchase the music.
Mm.
And so she, because they weren't published, you could get, I had looked at the scores on Perusal before from Boosey and Hawks, but she actually had some parts there. And so she gave me the solo parts and some scores to.
Not the only copies, I hope.
No, they weren't.
That's amazing.
And then from there, the recording project was born.
Yeah, so. What a wonderful, wonderful story. Well, we've heard all about it. Let's just listen to the final movement from that second cello concerto, the cadenza, and the rustic finale here. Our guest today, cellist Mark Kossower, performing along with the Bomberg Symphony, Lothar Zagroschek.
That's right.
Is the conductor. Always glad when my pronunciations are affirmed to be correct, because sometimes you never know. Music of Alberto Ginastera here on FM 91.
Thank you.
music by Alberto Ginastera. We heard the fourth movement, Cadenza and Rustic Finale, from his Cello Concerto No. 2. That was the Bamberg Symphony, directed by Lothar Zagroschek, and cellist Mark Kossower, who is actually here in the studio with us today. Mark is the principal cello of the Cleveland Orchestra, has performed with many wonderful orchestras, and tonight he's performing with the Toledo Symphony, and tomorrow night as well, and that'll be at the Toledo Museum of Art Peristyle, one of their classics concerts for the season. It's at 8 o'clock p.m., and there is a pre-concert chat at 7 p.m. Merwin Sue, who's also here in the studio with me, will be giving that, along with myself. We'll have a little conversation, Merwin, about some of the other music, and well, about all of the music that's going to be on the program. But right now I want to talk with you, Mark, about the piece that you are performing tonight
yes.
and tomorrow by Ernest Bloch, the Hebraic Rhapsody for cello and orchestra called Shlomo. Maybe I'll just turn it over to you and tell us a little bit about this piece.
Well, it's a very unique piece. There's really nothing quite like it for cello and orchestra. It's maybe not in an exact comparison, but it does have a comparison to, say, the music of Bartok, in the sense that while the music is derived from his Jewish roots and Jewish themes, it's not per se direct, authentic Jewish music, because it wasn't his intention to write in a style that was totally authentic to Jewish mm-hmm. music, but it's roots that is digested and becomes his own musical language. And he said his priority in music was to write honest and sincere music, and he even wrote that there was a voice from far, far away that goes, you know, deeper than himself, deeper than his parents or his own heritage, that spoke to him through much of his compositional output and what was his Jewish cycle, which is music he wrote from 1911 to about 1926. And then this work, Shlomo, was considered probably his masterpiece of that period.
And this falls sort of in the middle of that period, around 1916, 1917.
Exactly, right.
Thereabouts. Maybe important to note also to think of the Jewish experience at the time. You know, Israel was not a nation.
Yes.
And I guess he was kind of creating this symphonic version of what he felt the Jewish music could be.
Exactly, right. I mean, it goes even much further than that, but just representing a people without a country.
Yeah. Well, the title, Shlomo, refers to King Solomon. I think originally he wanted to create a vocal work or a choral work and use some text, perhaps.
Right, that's right. And then,
but then the text, there was no music he could find to do justice to the text.
Exactly, and then a couple of things happened. He heard a Russian cellist perform that he was particularly keen of his playing, and then he just decided that the languages that he was familiar with and spoke didn't really fit for the subject matter, and so then he came to the conclusion that the cello could transcend all languages and was a very grand and noble subject
yeah.
To communicate the message. So then,
I'm sure you agree as a cellist yourself.
But of course. You know.
But tell us the difference, for people who don't know, between, you know, this is cello and orchestra. What's the difference between a concerto and a rhapsody?
Well, sure. That's a very good question. Concerto would follow, from a musical standpoint, generally, not necessarily, but generally follows sonata form in music. And a rhapsody is going to be, it's a certain type of writing with more notes and great big sweeps and gestures, and a little bit. Rhapsodies generally have quite a bit of freedom in the tempo. Mm-hmm. I was talking about that with music director Stefan Sonderling. We were talking about how you can't have rubato in music unless it goes against something, meaning you have to have a good pulse and feeling for time and rhythm.
Oh, yeah.
Or else it's not rubato, it's just bad rhythm. But anyway,
one defines the other, I guess.
Yeah. Exactly. But but anyway, so those are the general characteristics of rhapsody, and sometimes rhapsodies also employ sonata form as well.
Yeah. Do you feel a greater sense of freedom in your interpretation with a rhapsody?
Sometimes, right. Right. I would say, you know, the what would be the standard Germanic classical composers. We're talking Mozart, Beethoven, Schubert. In a way, they're... Well, it's a double-edged sword. There are so many different ways you can interpret this music, but at the same time, there are parameters, and maybe perhaps in a rhapsody, there's right. You can bend the phrase, maybe even infinitely more ways, I would say.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about the music itself. I know that Bloch, in talking about it, has said that it represented perhaps the thoughts of King Solomon. You know, do we have any, do we know what he's thinking about, or is there a specific program going on?
We know because, unlike many works in the past, and sometimes this is easier as we move into more recent times, he actually, especially 16 years after he wrote the piece, wrote program notes for this piece, and so he comments there. It's written on, of course, on what King Solomon says in the Book of Ecclesiastes, and basically the subject matter is he's urging people, King Solomon, to reject the pleasures and materialism of the world and not to indulge in those things, and instead to follow the ways of God, and which leads to a more meaningful life, and what you leave behind, and probably will serve you better in the time of judgment.
Yeah, and it's done, I should say, in very passionate, seductive terms of music with the cello. Very, even though there aren't any words, it's a very convincing conversation that, you're creating there.
It's incredibly colorful. I mean, the Jewish tonalities are prevalent from beginning to end, and through the various episodes, there's great contrast. And interestingly, the cello, in a way, is very much pit against the orchestra. The orchestra is supposed to represent King Solomon's thoughts, and the cello is King Solomon's words.
Okay,
so it's there's an interesting psychology, you know, right, embedded in this behind.
Are they playing against each other? Or are they in unison? Is there
I think they're sometimes in unison, but I think there's a lot of conflict there, and between, you know, human desire and higher, you know, thinking and following the religious ways, basically.
Yeah. And so you make it sound so rich and interesting, and just full of lots of interesting stuff. I want to play a little bit of it. We won't listen to the whole thing because we want people to find out how the story ends on their own by going and seeing you perform it, listening to you tonight. But I've got a recording here with Lynn Harrell. We'll play just the beginning of it with the Concertgebouw Orchestra, Bernard Haitink at the podium, music of Ernest Bloch, a little excerpt here from his Hebraic Rhapsody for Cello and Orchestra, Shlomo, here on FM 91. We're listening to part of Ernest Bloch's Shlomo, his Hebraic Rhapsody for Cello and Orchestra. That's the Concertgebouw Orchestra, along with Bernard Haitink at the podium. Also cellist Lynn Harrell, that recording from the Decca record label. It will be performed tonight, in fact, by cellist Mark Kossower, who has been with us in the studio today. Mark is the principal cello of the Cleveland Orchestra. Tonight he'll be soloing along with the TSO, that is at 8 o'clock p.m., and tomorrow night as well at 8 o'clock. That's the Toledo Museum of Art, Paris style, Mark Kossower with music of Ernest Bloch. There's also some Beethoven, Cherepnin, and Dvorak on the program. Wonderful program. And, Mark, while I've got you here, I was mentioning, while we were listening to the music, the fact that Lynn Harrell, the cellist, has been profiled by Stephen Colbert as one of the people ruining America for his feud that he had with Delta Airlines. See, I am going somewhere with this, with Delta Airlines, because they kicked him off of a flight. He's trying to bring his cello on board. So my question to you is, have you ever had a similar experience? I mean, do you run into problems carrying that cello on airplanes?
Oh, all kinds of problems. And in the past, I've been thrown off of flights. I've been rerouted to go thousands of miles off course to take multiple planes that are suited for
cello-friendly planes.
Yes, exactly. And it's always a complex number of reasons. The FAA has certain rules about where a cello has to go or be seated on board in an aircraft. And then airlines sometimes have separate rules that are on top of that. And then if you happen to run into flight attendants who don't deal with cellos very often, then sometimes they're not familiar with the rules, and it just gets complicated, and so I've had virtually every type of experience traveling with a cello, and it's always an adventure.
Yeah, not always a great adventure, but no. An adventure nonetheless. But maybe you can get a battery of lawyers ahead of time making the reservation and work out a contract with the airlines. But it's a common story. I hear it so often from especially people with large instruments that they have to travel with. Although you're coming from Cleveland, I assume you drove out here.
Yes, I drove here. It doesn't pay to go to the airport. Easier and faster to get here by car.
That's nice. You can go at your own pace.
Wonderful.
You can bring as many cellos as you want,
exactly.
As many as will fit in your cello. I assume you have a cello-friendly car as well.
Yes, I do. Yes.
And you also brought some CDs. You told me your newest recording on the Naxos label, music of Victor Herbert. Victor Herbert, people think of him as, Babes in Toyland writing music for the Broadway stage, but he was also a cellist. Irish-born, German-raised, became an American citizen, came to the United States to play with the Metropolitan Opera Orchestra as a cellist and wrote some great cello music. So you've just recorded his concertos?
That's right, the two cello concertos of Victor Herbert. And he was sort of he was somebody who kind of did it all. When he came to America, first he was the principal cellist in the Metropolitan Orchestra, and then he was a short time in a string quartet, and then he took up a conducting career.
Yeah.
And first was conducting a prominent band and touring all over America, became music director of the Pittsburgh Symphony, and then after that was primarily composing operettas, which is what he became famous for, things like Babes in Toyland,
right.
Of course. But early on, he was more of a serious classical music composer, and these works are absolutely delightful. They're charming. There's a freshness about the music and an exuberance, which is partly to do with that time period and also to do with Victor Herbert himself. Apparently, he just had endless energy and was always doing this and that, and he also was a founder of ASCAP, the
right.
composers organization in New York. So he was a big figure in New York for the classical music scene at the time, and did a lot to contribute to classical music in America.
That's great. And there aren't that many recordings I know of his cello concertos.
No, and in fact, the real up until the one I made, the most prominent one was Lynn Harrell's recording he made with Vladimir Ashkenazy and St. Martin in the Field, who, of course, Lynn Harrell, who we heard this morning. And my family even has a small connection to Lynn Harrell, in that my father, being a cellist, was at the Cleveland Institute of Music around the time when Lynn Harrell was in Cleveland, and they knew each other and spent some time together. So
yeah. I think all of you famous cellists know each other. There's like a famous cellist club there somewhere.
Cellists are generally a friendly bunch. Yes,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, the cello club, right?
Right, absolutely.
We start them early. And you're going to bring those CDs tonight. They'll be available.
That's right.
At intermission? Or
at intermission, and I will be there to sign any CDs that people would like to purchase.
Great. Cellist Mark Kossower, principal cello for the Cleveland Orchestra. You can hear them here on FM 91 on Tuesday evenings at 8 o'clock. But you can see Mark in the flesh and listen to him in the flesh as well tonight with the Toledo Symphony, and tomorrow night, two classics concerts. It's happening at 8 o'clock p.m. at the Paris Style. There's a pre-concert chat at 7 o'clock p.m. I will be there for the chat, along with Merwin Sue, who has been sitting very patiently here with us in the studio as well. So what I'm going to do is transition a little bit, because I want to hear about some of the other music that is on the program for tonight and tomorrow night. But first, Mark, thank you so much for coming in, spending some time with us today. We really look forward to hearing you tonight. I urge all of you, go to the concert. It's a wonderful music and wonderful performers. You can get your tickets at 419-246-8000. That's the box office. Go to ToledoSymphony.com. Or just do what I'm going to do and show up at the door and hope they let you in. I'm sure they'll let you in. They may not let me in. Mark Kossler, thanks for joining us here on FM 91.
It's been great being here. Thank you.
Now, you can either stay with us, hang around, and switch hats here and let Merwin talk, and then you can just yell at him, you know, Donald Trump style, say, wrong.
I mean,
every time.
I mean, I'm happy to do whatever yeah. is.
I always have that voice in my head. You know, I say something, and in the back of my head, I hear wrong.
He has to be careful. I'm sitting behind him. I can interject while he's playing a solo.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, whatever makes the most sense. I'm happy to just turn it over to you, too. But
yeah.
Would,
that's great.
You have to, yeah, definitely. I definitely want to hear a wrong shouted out in the middle of one of the pieces of music. Well, you know, Mark, you may have something to say because you do play in an orchestra.
That's true.
Maybe I will very humbly ask you to take off your soloist hat just for a moment here.
Okay.
But we have something that is new to the TSO. It's not a world premiere, but it's certainly a Toledo premiere of the orchestration of Sam Adler that mm-hmm. he did. Of Beethoven's Variations on God Save the King. That's a piano piece, mm-hmm. right? And so he's orchestrated that. Anything interesting in that or unusual, or is that just kind of a straightforward treatment?
In some ways, it's, the colors in the orchestra are quite unusual, but yeah. he's stuck very close to the original in terms of the harmonies. So it's not, you're going to listen to this and these are going to sound like Beethovenian harmonies.
Right.
It's fascinating because, in a way, Sam Adler, just like Ernest Bloch and Dvorak, were, you know, extraordinarily renowned educators. And Sam Adler's lent his expertise to the Toledo Symphony Board of Directors, but he's probably extraordinarily well known as a composer and an orchestrator and a teacher of composers and an author of a really foundational orchestration textbook.
Yeah. This is a piece that he wrote for Stefan before, for a different symphony, kind of a little calling card for him to bring in, right?
Absolutely. I think many of the pieces in this program kind of explore this national identity issue. And when Stefan wanted to introduce himself to his orchestra in Liechtenstein, he discovered that their national anthem shares the same melody as God Save the King or My Country Tis of Thee
yeah.
or God Save the Queen at this point.
God Save the Cello. You sing that when you go on the airplane.
And so Stefan Sanderling asked Sam Adler to create this orchestration as kind of a calling card, as you mentioned, as an yeah. introduction piece to his first program there.
Well, I guess it worked. Now he's using it kind of like a farewell to Toledo, right?
Absolutely.
His final season.
Yeah. It's a very fun orchestration. Certainly the string parts are, you know, there's parts of it that are actually quite challenging, have some yeah. dancing octaves all around. So it's fun to watch. And,
dancing octaves.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I like that.
Yeah.
Dancing octaves. Yeah. Let's talk about this Chapman piece because I've never heard it before. I didn't know it existed, but evidently it has certainly some popularity for timpani mm-hmm. and orchestra. It's not originally for timpani and piano. Is that what it was?
Okay. And then he created an orchestral version afterwards.
What can you tell us about that piece for people who don't know, like me?
it's a fairly brief work in four movements,
yeah.
And this is in a. This is featuring longtime Toledo Symphony icon Bob Bell on timpani, and it's an honor to be working with him.
Yeah.
You know, very often I think the violinists were in front of the timpani, so it's kind of an honor for the violinist to be behind the timpani and featuring him.
How many timpani is he playing on?
He's playing on three timpani.
Okay. And are they pitched strangely, or I mean, we're not just going to hear boom, 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 boom.
There
boom,
are pitch
boom.
Adjustments that have to be made between yeah. movements, and absolutely, it does change. It does change, so it's not always 5-1. Four short movements, brief pauses between each movement. The first one's kind of almost a fanfare entrata type, and then the scherzo of the piece would be in this second movement, and it features kind of a. alternation between kind of a march-like theme that's mostly woodwinds and then kind of a jumpier string and trumpet theme with the timpani interjecting throughout. No. And then the third has almost a processional quality. It's maybe the one that's most in keeping with the Shlomo. It has this sort of... you can imagine kind of a procession down the middle of a church aisle or something like that.
Yeah, with timpani.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And then the finale is rip-roaring and a jolly good time.
Well, it sounds really interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been very fun to put together.
I assume it's a TSO premiere.
And you'd be assuming correctly.
Yeah. Whose idea was it to play that piece? I know you wanted to honor Bob Bell and also Sam Adler and people have had a long-time association, but how did it come about?
I think a couple of different pieces were bandied around, and we actually, you know, considered a couple of other works. But I think it was ultimately decided that there's a little bit of a tie-in with the Trepnin, and I think one of the very first programs Bob played, and I'm not 100% sure exactly what that tie-in is. But I think one of Trepnin's teachers may have been. I might have been Rimsky-Korsakov. I'll check
well,
on
he
that for
just
7
about
o'clock
everybody,
tonight.
So. Safe to say.
Yes. Yeah, so I think that was one of the featured works.
Yeah. Interesting. And the other piece on the program is a Toledo Symphony premiere, which kind of blows my mind, but that's okay. The Symphony No. 5 of Dvorak, which is, you know, that's a standard rep symphony.
Somewhat, but it is something that's pretty rarely played.
Yeah.
So there is a sense of familiarity and novelty at the same time. When we were in rehearsal, you have this sense of this, you know, this is a familiar language, but there's definitely a sense of discovery with this piece. But it's I think maybe there's a tendency to see fifth symphonies with kind of a, you know, a sense of power and heroism, and this reminds me much more of maybe a Beethoven Sixth Symphony. There's a real pastoral quality to it, and it unfolds as opposed to imposes itself. And it's a wonderful sense of discovery when you're getting to kind of go from movement to movement. It really just blossoms, and it's a wonderful piece.
It's such an interesting program. I see every time you say something, or when Mark is nodding his head in agreement. So
yes. Rob.
I'm assuming. Rob. No, we didn't hear that. I haven't heard anybody any interjections.
Not at all. Hardly.
No objections from
absolutely
that,
none.
But one of the great things about Dvorak is he writes just amazing cello melodies.
Yeah. Have you played the Symphony 5?
I have, Mark? Yes, yeah. A couple seasons ago.
Yeah. What's your take on that symphony?
You know, there's a freshness to the music and a lightness and all the Dvorak charm, but you know, like if we look at by comparison the Seventh Symphony of Dvorak, I mean it's much, of course it's in a minor key, but it's much darker, grimmer, very thickly or densely scored, and this one is much more transparent and very open feeling, and I totally agree as you mentioned, but with Merwin that it just unfolds and it's just beautiful from beginning to end.
That's a nice compliment to the Shlomo, I guess. Yeah.
Yes.
They complement each other.
Yeah.
Well, great. Well, that is some of the music. That's all the music, I guess. We've gone over it. Unless there's something you haven't told me that's happening tonight at 8 o'clock at the Toledo Museum of Art Peristyle, tomorrow night as well at 8 o'clock, the Toledo Symphony Orchestra, Beethoven, Bach, and Dvorak. We'll also hear a little Trepnin thrown in there for good measure. Mm-hmm. They are performing the classics concert. Stefan Sanderling at the podium and cellist Mark Kosselwer, as I mentioned, who has come to Toledo for the third time performing with the TSO. So glad to have you here. And Merwin, I'm going to join you tonight, and we're going to talk more about this music. So those of you listening, you've heard us talk about it. If you have any questions, bring them with you, and we'll chat tonight and get everybody prepped and ready to listen to this wonderful music. That's at 7 o'clock, the pre-concert chat, mm-hmm. also on the stage of the Peristyle. So we hope you see you there. We hope to see you there. And the box office, again, still time to call and get your tickets at 419-246-8000 or go online to toledosymphony.com or just show up at the door. That works as well. Gentlemen, Mark, I thanked you. I'm going to thank you for hanging around while Merwin was talking as well. But thanks to Mark Kosselwer, principal cello of Cleveland Orchestra, and Merwin Sue, who is principal second violin, also the artistic administrator of our fine symphony. And thanks to both of you for coming to FM 91. We look forward to tonight.
Thank you very much.
Our pleasure.